All right, welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, the free speech platform. And today we're joined by one of my favorite people, Jonathan Emord. He's an attorney who has done hand-to-hand combat with the FDA from time to time. And he's running for Senate, the U.S. Senate for the state of Virginia. And his website is emordforva.com. We'll put it on screen for you. Jonathan Emord, sir, you are an amazing person, a great patriot, a great American. Thank you for joining us today. It's an honor to have you on.
Oh, it's an honor to be with you, Mike. Thank you.
Well, you do so much incredible work, and I just can't say enough about you, but let me let you talk for a second. Let's start with the basics. Why are you running for the U.S. Senate, by the way? I mean, are you just looking for abuse or something? It's a lot of work you're signing up for.
That's true. Well, I look at it this way. I've been studying the federal bureaucracy forever, as you know, over 38 years practicing before the federal courts against the agencies. And all the while, the agencies have been responsible for a leftward trend. The government is increasingly socialistic. But within the last few years, from 2020 forward, the movement has been so profound that if we don't stop it within the next 2 to 3 years, we will lose the last vestiges of our republic to a socialist dictatorship. And cognizant of that, because I do act as an attorney before many federal agencies, I came to the conclusion that I couldn't just sit back. I had to participate in this. My whole career has been designed to defend the Constitution against government overreach and violation of individuals' rights. And so now I see those violations happening with such rapidity and so frequently, resulting in ruin for businesses and for individuals, that I think if we don't act, don't save our republic and save this state within the next 2 to 3 years, the game is up.
Yeah, I think a lot of our viewers would agree with you, and not just talking about the Senate, but the entire, the executive branch as well, not just the legislative branch. And frankly, the judicial is in a lot of trouble right now as well. So I just wanna say thank you for stepping forward. You're running for Senate. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running for president, which was also unexpected. I mean, we're here to talk about you, but did that surprise you as well that RFK is running for president?
Not really, because I've had the good fortune of working a little bit with the Children's Health Defense, and I know how passionate he is on health freedom issues and how prominent a figure he has become. Now, we disagree on a number of issues because he is a Democrat and I'm not. But on the health freedom issue, we agree, and largely without a hitch. So it's not at all a surprise to me. He witnessed the mass censorship that was taking place during the COVID period, the whole disgusting gain of function work by Fauci that resulted really in a man who's the greatest betrayer of the history in our history. Fauci's betrayal of America in favor of the communist Chinese by doing the unthinkable, which is give them the wherewithal to create a bioweapon.
Yeah.
Giving it directly to the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, in a bioweapons lab, the Wuhan lab, is just an astronomical violation of our sovereignty.
And indeed.
So that he would do this then in light of the enormity of the whole COVID issue is not a surprise to me at all.
So should you become a senator for Virginia, what would be the first thing that you would seek to accomplish?
The very first thing I will do is introduce legislation to make it a federal felony for anyone to aid or cause the transitioning of anyone under the age of 18.
Amen.
That's the first thing I would do. The second thing I will do is introduce legislation to enforce the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution and the Civil Rights Act against any institution that receives federal funding, whether it's in the military, a department of the military, or a school, or any other institution that receives federal funding, if they engage in stigmatizing or separating people predicated upon race, as is being done by those who advocate critical race theory.
Yes.
It's a gross violation of the Constitution, horrible for our kids. They're dividing our kids and they're ruining them. And they're making them fit for a communist revolution, but enemies of their parents, each other, the free enterprise system, the country. When you have statistics like somewhere around 65% of kids asked if they would defend the United States if it were attacked, indicating they would not, you know, you visibly see just how successful this woke indoctrination movement has been.
Yes.
And if we don't stop it, it will be the ruination of our country for sure.
I completely agree. And the discrimination that is happening right now in government-funded institutions is not only targeting people based on their ethnicity, including now critical race theory targeting white people and claiming they are guilty for all crimes committed centuries ago by people who aren't even living today. But what about viewpoint discrimination? Because, for example, I've been added to numerous financial blacklists. PayPal canceled my account and the accounts of many other conservatives. JP Morgan bans people simply for being Trump supporters or conservatives. What about civil rights protections for viewpoints?
Yes, without question, we've witnessed this administration engage in gross censorship. Again, we've got a record here, the worst censorship in American history we've just gone through, with the Twitter files revealing it, between the White House and big tech and major media, also with the FBI involvement and engaging in censorship that has resulted in a lot of injury. You're also pointing out the gross abuse of power, again, part of this far left agenda, which has swept the Biden administration and all the agencies of the federal government.
Yes.
This ESG movement to cause big companies and those that lend money to look at individuals not based on their creditworthiness, but instead based on their political affiliations, and to deny conservatives funding. So you've been a victim of that. Many people have been a victim of that. That viewpoint discrimination needs to be rooted out with strict laws that prevent it and that protect people against the use of credit as a vehicle to force you into a pecuniary status or prevent you from obtaining a loan, even when you are credit worthy.
Yes. Yeah. Well, in fact, the Biden administration, as you know, is punishing creditworthy people under the new home mortgage rules and actually subsidizing people with low credit scores. I mean, it's actually punishing you for being a responsible borrower.
That FHFA rule that they just adopted is outrageous, because not only is it on its face a gross act because it's hurting so many good people, but when you make good credit, when you penalize it with effectively a tax, making people to pay higher amounts for their mortgages and for loans, predicated on simple fact that they have good credit, you punish good credit. And that means if you tax something, you get less of it. And so they're encouraging people to have poor credit.
They are.
And they're dropping the level of creditworthiness required for loans and for mortgages. And doing that is going to absolutely result in defaults, greater numbers of defaults. It's a plan to ruin our economy as part of this whole thing. The whole climate change agenda really is a Trojan horse for the delivery of socialism to America. You destroy the fossil fuel industry utterly when obviously you can rely on free market environmentalism, for example, to encourage environmentalism.
But Jonathan, it seems like it's all by design to gut our nation. I mean, for example, that the home loan, the punitive rates for people with good credit, clearly that's designed to incentivize people, it creates these perverse incentives where people would say, well, before I buy a home, I should first make sure I'm late on credit card payments for a few months to get worse credit so I can get a better rate. I mean, those are the kinds of things that end up destroying an economy when people have these perverse incentives to destroy their own credit.
Yes, and if you look at the big picture, really what we're talking about is an attack on safety, the safety of your kids in school, the safety of your family at home and in the community because of the uptick in crime, which is a result of the Soros prosecutors that they are allowing to collude to obstruct justice with Soros. You have safety, security, open borders, total disaster, rapes, murders, MS-13 gangs, 18th Street gangs, all this drug trafficking, sex trafficking, fentanyl coming in to the tune of 130,000 deaths last year is going to go up by some 60% this year. Safety, security, and then sovereignty, individual liberty. Individual sovereignty is all on the line. And these things are being consciously attacked. The result is a loss of life, a loss of liberty, a loss of property. So they have made the American people, the Biden administration and the far left movement in Congress, they have made the American people their enemy. You know, never before in our history did the Democrat Party actually make the people their enemy as they are now. They would always come up with some argument that they were helping people. They don't even do that now. In the face of all of the carnage that has resulted from the open border policy, they don't even talk about helping the people whose businesses were looted and destroyed, who were victims of rape or murder or, you know, an uptick in crime in their community. There's no consciousness in the whole Democrat Party to care about American citizens who are now second class, third class individuals, and they favor instead, just mindlessly favor, the idea of this open world in which we have no national borders, where everything that we have is capable of being robbed and looted and destroyed, and no one is there to defend us. No.
Well, yeah, and it's in many ways, it's even worse than that. I agree with what you just said, but I saw in Breitbart yesterday, there's a city councilwoman, I believe, in Colorado that is saying that white-owned businesses should have their money confiscated so that the state, or in that case, the city, can redistribute it to black-owned businesses. So, I mean, this is, you know, blatant gunpoint confiscation, punishing you based on the color of your skin. And yet this is being openly promoted by people who are in positions of political power in America right now today.
Yes, what we have really is all over the country. For example, with the Soros prosecutors, we have about 76 to 78 anti-incarceration Soros-backed prosecutors who have within their jurisdiction 75% of the American population. So you got this massive uptick in crime because they're not prosecuting crime, because they're letting criminals get off scot-free, early release. And you know, this is all part of the plan to destroy this country. But it's really a simple proposition of getting back to the rule of law and order. It's just getting the right people in there. So you've got my opponent, Tim Kaine. He's all for this agenda.
Yes.
He does nothing to stop the transitioning, nothing to stop the CRT, nothing to stop the Soros-backed prosecutors. One of the things I'm going to do is introduce legislation that will not only require that Soros be investigated based on his activities that have done so much damage, but will also expand the law so that when he has colluded with prosecutors in advance of their running, that they agree to an anti-incarceration agenda. That's an obstruction of justice. That's a conspiracy
Yes.
to obstruct justice. These people need to be prosecuted. Soros, the groups that are associated with him that fund these anti-incarceration agendas, and those that have adopted them. And they need to be impeached, of course, by the states to the extent that they have impeachment laws to do it, or otherwise removed from office. But they also need to be prosecuted federally, because anything that is a conscious effort to obstruct justice, to avoid the application of the criminal law systemically, so that it results in an increase in crime because these people are not being put in jail. That is a harmful obstruction of justice for which these people need to account. They've caused so much misery with the public. They've hurt so many people's lives. It's time for them to pay the piper because they have done this wittingly. You got these prosecutors like Buddha Biberej in Loudoun County, direct evidence of the harms she's caused as a result of letting people who are recidivists back on the street. And she doesn't have to pay any penalty at the moment for those people causing such injury to others, that violent crime. Well, she should, because it was her effort to obstruct justice that resulted in these injuries.
Yes. No, I never thought we'd be at the point in this country where DAs are siding with the criminals, letting them go, refusing to press charges where there is clearly evidence for prosecution, and almost voting for criminals to go back on the streets and kill or harm more people. It's extraordinary. But let's get to practical matters here. Your website, by the way, for those watching, I want to encourage you, make a donation to Jonathan Emord's campaign, because, and the website is emord4va.com. And because, of course, Jonathan, I would imagine you're not getting any big donations from big pharma and powerful corporations and institutions that are all part of this actual conspiracy to destroy America, it seems. So isn't it true you must rely on grassroots funding for your campaign?
Yeah, we're wholly dependent upon the contributions that come from individuals. And it's a remarkable situation, because you've got, on the one hand, a person in Tim Kaine. Remember, he was the vice presidential running mate with Hillary Clinton. So my opponent actually has access to huge sums of money. And one of the figures who is heavily backing Tim Kaine and has his whole career since he was the mayor of Richmond is George Soros. So you have George Soros, Alex Soros, ready, willing, and able to dump in millions into his campaign coffers. And we have to compete with that based on donations from individuals. So you're absolutely right. It is a grassroots campaign, and we have to depend on patriotic Americans to rise up and help us win this thing. We're really the expression, the outward expression of the patriotism that lives within each person. We're yes. fighting for it. And so we'll be the point of the spear, or the tip of the spear, if everyone else will be the spear, and we'll drive it into the heart of the dragon and slay it.
Yeah, well said. And, you know, this is my opinion, not yours, but Tim Kaine, I believe, in my opinion, is one of the most evil people to have ever gained any grip on power in America. Perhaps not quite as evil as Hillary Clinton. I mean, there are striations of evil in this tapestry here, sadly, but we need to be honest about the fact that the system is rigged. The big money is being given to those who do the most destructive acts against this nation. And folks, we have to support people like Jonathan Emord who want to bring America back, but it's not a big money mission. In fact, isn't it true, Jonathan? I mean, even professionally, you would actually lose money probably by being a senator, because it would take away from your other projects.
That's true, but it's a sacrifice well worth doing if we can get in there and save the nation. And I'll tell you, I learned when I came in the Reagan administration, even before that, when I was an intern in Washington, D.C., and actually had the privilege of working for a little bit with Charles Z. Wick, who was one of the communications directors there in the kitchen cabinet of Reagan in California. I learned that you don't just introduce legislation. Reagan didn't just introduce legislation. He campaigned for it nationally. And he put everything on the line and called on the public to lobby their members of Congress and put pressure on them to pass it. I think one of the big mistakes that's being made, you get some good pieces of legislation dropped in the hopper, but then the members don't go nationally and campaign for that legislation. And they need to, in order for the public to be aware of it and in order for them, the public, to put pressure on the members to support it. A lot of these members are pretty squishy. They don't have, like you and I do, foundational beliefs in the underpinnings of the Constitution. And so they will bend basically whichever way the wind's blowing. But if you don't have a strong wind confronting them, they'll bend in the direction of the special interests or whoever is in opposition to doing anything.
Right.
And so the left has this well-heeled machine of protests and outlandish things going on in the districts of these members. And they tend to, oh, my goodness, BLM is protesting or Antifa or whatever. They're enemies of the country, in my judgment. They're Marxist by and large. We have to take on and speak truth directly to these issues and campaign for the legislation. Get on the media, defend it. Get out there and fight for it. We're going to save this country. We have got to do it based on a commitment to be all in and do whatever is necessary to save it, or else we'll lose it.
Well, this is an area where I am absolutely confident that you will hold the line and do what you say. There, I've known you for so many years, and I know that you are a principled person. There are some people I would be fearful of what they would do if they gained power in the Senate, because they could exploit it. They could fold. They could be bought off. You're not one of those people. You're principled. You've already been through so much that you know what counts, and that is ultimately principles. So. I have all the confidence of sending you to the U.S. Senate. But once you're there, and this is my question to you, you're still surrounded by squishy people, even on the Republican side. How do you plan to deal with that?
Well, I think the way to deal with it is, sure, you try to persuade them, unquestionably. But again, the best thing you can do is to alert their constituents to the legislation that needs to be passed, and have them pressure them, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. We need to campaign nationally, and I will do that for each piece of legislation I introduce. And so it's great if they're with us, but when we're talking about legislation to protect the foundational principles of this country, which is what I'm talking about, and to protect individuals' lives and their children and their economic future, and you have people standing in the way of that, well, you know what? We're going to call them out.
Yeah.
And we're going to say, hey, look, constituents of this member, get in touch with him because he's not on the program. He needs to be. So the good old boys network that has been there and that is the RINO characteristic is not going to be an effect on me, because I'm not going there for that purpose. As you point out, I'm going there because I really do believe that if we don't take the steps necessary to save this country within 2 to 3 years, it will devolve into a socialist dictatorship. We are seeing the Constitution being violated right and left. It is hanging by a single thread. And I want that tapestry to be strong and to be woven into the hearts and minds of the American people. And I think we all have to stand up for our Constitution. Because these people, I'm telling you, they're result-oriented, right? They want a result no matter how they get there. They will pack the Supreme Court. They will violate the separation of powers. They will institute changes that will violate your rights and take away your liberty if it means more power for them. That's what we're looking at. That's what we have to oppose.
How do you plan to overcome the election shenanigans that the Democrats routinely pull off, such as mailing out millions of mail-in ballots and then running around harvesting those from nursing homes and whatever, all blatantly illegal, but they've done it. And they've done it in Virginia, by the way. I think, in fact, in the last election that happened in Virginia. What about election integrity so that you have a fair shot?
Election integrity is a huge issue. And in no small measure, I've affiliated myself with a member who's running for the state Senate, and he will be in power in 2023. And I'm writing the election integrity legislation for him. His name is Matt Strickland. And I'm going to write election integrity legislation that will be introduced in the General Assembly in Virginia. And I want to change this law that exists here so that people can't vote without establishing their identity. And in addition, I want to truncate that voting period, because so much mischief goes on when you expand the period of time for
people. That's right.
So one of the things that I'm looking at is establishing a detailed system that will corroborate in each voter's case their nationality, that they are American citizens, birth certificates, nationalization evidence, as well as their residence evidence, all of this for each individual. And then in addition, and this is somewhat controversial, but I think it's essential, is to use a system like biometrics, where you can look in and see, scan someone's retina and validate that they are who they say they are when they vote. So we need to get past the fraud that's associated with people coming in illegally. And in Virginia, if you're an illegal entrant into the state, you can get a driver's license. And if you get a driver's license, you can also get a voter registration card. And then when you vote in Virginia, you don't even have to show your driver's license. You can go in there and say who you are, and they'll let you vote without identification. All you have to do is fill out a form. Well, my goodness, you know, the fraud is rampant there. And even though they have a system of verification that they try to use, it's human, they really need an automatic system that will either authorize you to vote because it's been established that you are actually who you say you are at the time you vote and that you have the right to vote, or you would be rejected, and an automatic system of auditing taking place at the same time. And this requires very well-crafted legislation, the purpose of which will be to ensure voter integrity and to minimize fraud. And I agree with you. Voter integrity is the key issue. If we have voter integrity, I believe we win. If we don't have voter integrity, I believe the other side has a well-developed system of abusing elections that has resulted in fraudulent ballots being cast and counted.
Well, Joe Biden admitted that before the most recent election. He said the Democrats have, I forgot how he said it, was the most elaborate, well-funded vote fraud system in history. I mean, he openly talked about it.
Yeah, I mean, when you have even to the point where you have the last date for voting change suddenly such that now you can vote for another week, or you have ballots that are received after the deadline for voting and suddenly they're counted, or you have large numbers of ballots stuffed into the mailbox voting, receptacles. Yeah. By single individuals, obviously there, and the ballot harvesting that's just rank in California, going into old folks' homes and filling out all of the ballots for them, and then submitting those ballots in mass to the clerk's office. This all has to end. This is if we can't control the voting integrity issue, the game is up as well, right?
Well, exactly, and yet the tyranny is so intense now that anyone who even suggests that the 2020 election wasn't 100% accurate and perfect is labeled an insurrectionist and perhaps an extremist. And that gets to the other side of this, which is overreach of government agencies. Now, you wrote a book. I still remember the key elements of this book, although I forgot the title of it. But several years ago, you talked about the fiefdoms that these government agencies were building for themselves, these unelected bureaucrats writing their own rules. We've seen it with the EPA, the FDA, and even the ATF with the new arm brace rule, which has no basis in law. You saw this coming. You warned about it. When was that book first put out, Jonathan?
2008.
Wow. Well, and what was the name of it again?
The Rise of Tyranny.
There we go. The Rise of Tyranny. You predicted the whole thing.
Yes, and just a couple of years ago, at the urging of Congressman Dan Burton and John Doolittle, I wrote a book called The Authoritarians, which documents the rise of socialism in America and really is the untold story of how socialists have operated within the federal government and how they actually are in a position of control now through the federal agencies. And so that book, which has been very well received, is really the only definitive documentation that exists of the rise of socialism in America. There have been a lot of little things here and there that, when you piece it all together, really show a stark and terrifying portrait of how people who really mean to destroy our country have been a part of the landscape variously since after the Civil War, since the 1865 and forward. Yeah, Even in the antebellum South, the philosophy of collectivism was accepted by the Confederacy in place of individual liberty in the Declaration of Independence. They even condemned their own Southern brother, Thomas Jefferson, as a part of the justification for slavery, and adopted Friedrich Hegel's collectivism. And that collectivism never went away. The 13th Amendment abolishing slavery did not abolish that thinking. It became all the rave in academia after the Civil War. And that's how we got the administrative state, because it was expressly designed to circumvent and destroy the Constitution's limits on power.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I share your concern about the time growing short for what we have remaining here. And some people think it's too late, but I'm glad you don't. That's why it's critical that we help get people like you engaged in the process. Now, pardon my ignorance, but for the state of Virginia, is there one more nomination process for you to be the Republican candidate, or where do things stand?
Yes, so knock on wood, we've done very well in the Republican primaries. So, for example, one indication is the FEC report. So we, in our first quarter, we raised 10 times the amount of our next nearest competitor and four times the amount of all of them combined.
Wow.
And we also have the good fortune of support across Virginia, very strong support, grassroots support. That's why those figures came out so well. And it's growing by leaps and bounds. I'm confident we are in the lead, and I'm also confident that a lot of the activity now, unfortunately, by the left and by Kaine, is an anticipation of what we are doing. So the Soros money is coming into Tim Kaine, and the whole apparatus. He's opened some 13 election offices, unheard of in his career, 13 election offices around Virginia, and he's parading all the money that's coming out of the Biden administration into Virginia by making appearances wherever, you know, 100 million here or 50 million there is being dropped into Virginia to help Tim Kaine.
But, you know, it's extraordinary because individuals can only contribute a limited amount to your campaign, yet someone like Soros can drop tens of millions of dollars into an infrastructure that is essentially a Tim Kaine infrastructure.
It's all geared to protect incumbents from competition. And but the game is up. I mean, for years and years, they've gotten away with this. And they've gotten away with it in no small measure because there hasn't been someone like me to call them out on it.
Yeah.
A lot of the people who've been, you know, on our side and have been going up against these kinds of characters have themselves been, you know, part and parcel of the bad system. So what you needed is an outsider, yes, and somebody who can shake things up, but also someone who's totally unafraid to call out the enemy and explain what they're doing. And that's what I'm doing. I've written several articles about the horrors of Tim Kaine as a senator, and I have no intention whatsoever of backing down or diminishing the volume here. He is going to have to answer for what he has done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, okay. So practical question then. Well, when is the primary voting day?
It's June the 28th of 2024. So we are way ahead.
Wow. Okay.
We are way ahead, and we're really, this is a part of the smart campaign. You know, if you're going to take on an incumbent, what we've learned from studying campaigns in Virginia is two things. You got to start early. And then in addition, you have to, in my view, take on your opposition. Don't just raise the flag and say, I'm a nice fellow. You have to show what you will do. The other interesting thing is, you know, Mike, all these candidates do not, they avoid the issues.
Yes.
me, you know, as an American citizen, I've always been bugged to an extreme degree when a candidate will not speak frankly and tell you what they will do. But they don't. And that's what's shocking people, I think, throughout Virginia, is that I do. And not only do I explain to them my understanding of the problem, but I give them a precise solution and tell them what I will introduce to cause that solution to happen. And the response has been really strong and very favorable because people understand, first, that you're honest. Second, that you are committed based on sound principles. And then the third thing is that you will do something, that you're actually going for a purpose, and that you will defend your position. I think it's because, I'm not sure exactly why politicians don't ordinarily tell you what they're going to do, but I think a big part of it is that they lack the background and understanding of the issues sufficient to defend their positions. So they're squishes, and they go in there, and they become basically lapdogs for the leadership. And it's not my intention to go into Washington and represent anybody but the people of Virginia. I'm not going in
there. Exactly.
You know, so I think that a lot of people are going to start coming into politics who haven't been in politics, like me, to get in there and get it fixed.
Well, this is one of the things I've always appreciated about you, Jonathan, is your clarity of thought and your ability to explain these concepts in a very clear, concise, and accurate way. And I'm sure this is one of the things that's made you such a successful attorney, because you're able to get right to the heart of the issue. But we live in an age when the president appears to many Americans to be an Alzheimer's patient, where you have a senator, a Fetterman, who appears to be cognitively barely functional, to say that nicely. And yet the contrast that you bring, or even let's say Dr. Oz, who ran against Fetterman, you know, Dr. Oz could speak on issues quite eloquently with a lot of knowledge and experience. And to this day, I don't think that Dr. Oz lost that election. That's just my opinion. But how can someone listen to Tim Kaine's, what I would consider to be insane ideas, versus your rational, well-thought-out, structured, logical, values-based ideas? How could anyone vote for Tim Kaine? I don't even understand where that could come from.
I think that he succeeded in deluding a lot of people. One of the things that I've noticed about him is that he's like a chameleon, and that he adopts whatever the background is as his color. So if he's talking before a business group, you would swear that Tim Kaine is pro-business. He's talking before a group of parents, you'd swear that he has compassion for them and their interests. But the reality is how he votes, and how he votes is in strict accordance with what Schumer and the leadership ask of him. He's a lazy guy. He's not an energetic guy. He does what he's told. He basically does what the leadership wants. Now, every now and again, on rare occasion, he'll a little bit go away from that. For example, on the abortion question, he started off being pro-life, and then he became pro-choice. He was pro-life, he said, because I'm a Catholic, when he was mayor of Richmond. Then when he ran for the Senate, it was more difficult in his party to not be pro-choice. So he shifted and said, I'm pro-choice. Then, but he still said, but I'm personally pro-life. But then when he ran as vice presidential running mate for Hillary, they couldn't allow him to say, I'm personally pro-life, because it was anathema in the Democrat Party at the time. And Hillary did not like it either. So he went along with that and became totally pro-choice and said he was pro-choice. And to prove his credentials on that, he voted for a bill that would allow abortion all the way up to the time of delivery.
Wow.
Now, I don't see how you do that. I mean, I don't see how you go from 180 degrees in one direction to 180 degrees in the other. I don't see how you do that shift. But it's that kind of a personality that he has that if it's required of him for political advantage, he'll do it. And that's just horrible.
Yeah, well, clearly, and anyone who would team up with Hillary Clinton raises red flags in my book. But we're about out of time, and I want to ask you to hang on to after this, because I would like to find a way to bring you back on and help your team with your fundraising publicity. You know, just because we align with you on your values and your mission, and we agree that it's absolutely critical. But for those watching, even outside of Virginia, can someone outside of Virginia donate to your campaign?
They sure can. They can't if they're a foreign national. But if you're an American citizen anywhere in the United States, you can. And I might point out that your point, this is part of the Clinton-Cain operation. I mean, this man was a vice presidential running mate of Hillary Clinton. He is responsible in no small measure for the Soros funding that Hillary got. And so it's critically important, if we're going to make the Senate turn red, that we flip Virginia. So wherever you are in the country, if you stand for the values that we do, it would be great if you could help us out, because it will benefit you once I'm in there.
What's the contribution limit for individuals?
Individuals can give, I believe, 6,000. They've changed the dollar amounts. I think we're up to a total of a husband and wife could give up to 13,200, and it's half of that.
6,600.
6,600 for the primary and 6,600 for the general. So if you wanted to give to both, it would be 13,200. Yeah.
Okay.
Higher.
Okay. Yeah, no, all good. So emord4va.com is the website where people can do that.
Yes.
And do you have an email list there?
We do. You can sign up to help with the campaign. You can also sign up for our weekly updates on the campaign. It's been tremendous. We've only been doing this since January, the end of January, and already we have just overwhelming popular support.
Oh yeah,
Virginia. It's. I think we're going to be in a position to really not just win, but win by a big margin, as long as we can get the message out. That's the key: getting the message out.
Well, yeah, and we are here to help you do that, Jonathan. So please, keep in touch about that. But I also want to point out that the stronger you are in your race, the more it forces the George Soros people of the world to dedicate money to trying to defeat you, which takes away their money from other candidates as well. So there's also a big picture aspect to this. The stronger you are, the more it costs them, whether you win or lose.
That's definitely true. And I'm happy to take all of them on. As you know, I've taken on the federal government for 38 years. So it's not a real issue for me to take on these other fellows. I don't mind the struggle. I do mind losing my country. And I know.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Well, God bless you, Jonathan Emord, and God bless America. And thank you for what you're doing. You're a man of real principle, of real courage. In fact, you might not like me saying this, but you remind me of the principles of people like Thomas Paine and others who were, you know, part of the conversation of how we got our country here in the first place. You really have a founding fathers kind of vibe about you. So thank you for being who you are.
Well, that's quite an honor. And I'm really quite humbled by that statement. I love dearly the founding generation. And I do believe that our country was created in a divine moment. There's never been before and never since a genius like is expressed in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence for our country, and a constitution like we have. So we have to preserve them, protect them, and ensure that they never go away. And that's what we need to do.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. So thank you for taking the time with us today. We really appreciate you. And the website, folks, again, is Emord, that's E-M-O-R-D, Emord, 4, and that's spelled out F-O-R-V-A, which is Virginia. So emord4va.com. And we talked about the donation limits. If you want to donate, if you're an American citizen, you can contribute no matter where you live in the world, as long as you're an American citizen. So thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams of Brighteon.com, and you can share this interview. Please post it everywhere and sign up for the email list at emord4va.com. Thanks for watching. I'm Mike Adams again, Brighteon.com, free speech platform. We love Jonathan Emord and we love America. Take care, everybody. Today's interview is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com. We appreciate your support, by the way. And we have hundreds of products, including storable food and nutritional supplements and personal care products that can help you stay, well, healthy and alive. I've got some on my desk here right now. We've got beet juice concentrate there and a Radiance blend that makes a very delicious smoothie. This is all a lab-tested, certified organic, and packaged in our Texas facility. And there we have liposomal glutathione liquid drops, by the way, which is something that can really support your body's natural detoxification process. Just look up the ingredients at healthrangerstore.com. Let me show you what I have actually at the store. Here's some of our silver mouthwash products. These are colloidal silver. Gosh, we've got all kinds of stuff here. We've got essential oils. We also have all kinds of storable foods that you can see here. And then we have Ranger buckets. We have these back in stock. This is certified organic, lab-tested survival and preparedness food that's packed into these vacuum-sealed bricks. I call them bricks. They're just shaped food, I don't know, vacuum-sealed packages so that they can maintain their freshness. And you can see what's in these buckets. They're available right now at healthrangerstore.com with a very long shelf life and outstanding nutrition. This is the cleanest, healthiest, organic, storable food that you'll find anywhere on the planet. So we thank you for your support. Again, healthrangerstore.com and brighteon.com. Take care. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.